You are listening to the Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Welcome to this week's episode of Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama. I'm always excited for each episode, and this one is no exception. Today we have Adam Stevenson, a North Alabama mural artist. Adam, we are so happy to have you join us today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to get into this episode. It's incredible what you do, and I'm a big fan of your work, and I know I'm not the only one either. So let's start this episode by learning a little bit more about you. Can you tell us what got you interested in art, and more specifically in the mural style?
Okay, well, I've had a lifelong interest in art. So when I was a little kid, I was drawing dinosaurs, and I loved cartoons. Pretty much anything I wanted to watch, I wanted to watch animated stuff. But everything kind of transitioned to murals when I moved to Atlanta and saw the city covered in graffiti, or at least where I was living. And to me, that really spoke to me. It was a bunch of art that was kind of the voice of people who didn't have a bigger platform or maybe bigger opportunities. And I saw myself in that category, so it really spoke to me. And I just liked the energy, the vibrant colors, the angles and shapes. There's a few artists in Atlanta that are world-class graffiti artists. Totem, he's probably one of the guys that influenced me the most when I first got there. It just blew my mind at what you could do without permission, but what you could do just at scale with spray paint, the level of technique, it was mind-blowing. I'd never seen anything like it before in my life.
Yeah, that is so cool that that's what got you interested in that. Do you remember the first mural that you ever did?
The first mural I ever did was actually in Huntsville for a dance company. I can't remember the name of my friend's dance company right now off the top of my head. It wasn't very good. They were just like, here, we'll pay for your paint. You give it a shot. And it was okay. I learned a lot during it. And I was kind of doing it to practice for a mural festival in Atlanta that I was invited to called Ford Warrior. And that was in 2015. So that's as far as murals go that are not graffiti. That's those for when I got started, 2015.
Okay, so you're fairly new at doing this then.
Yeah, this is a new world to me.
Okay, is that mural still up at the dance company in Huntsville?
No, they changed ownership and it's not a dance studio anymore, so it doesn't really make sense anymore. They had to get rid of the mural wall and everything.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool though that's how you got your start, your practice mural there. So tell us, what does it mean then to be a mural artist?
To me, first off, I like making big art. I think that it creates a much different experience than just looking at a canvas or a television screen or something like that. I think when the art is at scale, it really affects the surrounding environment. And you can work with the surrounding environment and upgrade, change drastically. You can really shift the mood of a place. But on top of that, I think that it's very important that art is accessible to everybody, not just people who are kind of nerds into art galleries and stuff like that. I think I love art galleries and I don't think there's anything wrong with that stuff. I love it. I'm working in one at the moment. But I do think that people feel out of place in there. A lot of people do, just kind of normal people. So they never go in there. They don't see the art. A lot of times they don't have the tools to understand some of the art, some of the really weird stuff. But when you put it in public, I try to make my art to where it's understandable to anybody, where you can feel it. And I think that's important to provide art for the people and just get people thinking about art and how it changes the environment that they're in. I know in Decatur, people, they never would have imagined stuff like that. Or this is what they've told me. And now they go there and it just, the whole downtown section has a much more welcoming vibe. And I think young people feel a little bit more seen there because it's changing the perception of downtown. It gives it a bit more energy.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love that you say, you know, it's kind of like it brings the art gallery to the people. I love that.
Sure.
'Cause it can be kind of intimidating when you go in and, you know, you're standing there looking at art and you feel like you need to say something very poignant, you know, and profound about this art. And sometimes you just want to just stare at it and take in its beauty. So that's really cool. Well, I love that you mentioned it can shift the mood of a town or an area, because Merchant's Alley, we're going to jump into some of the art that you've done here in North Alabama, but the Merchant's Alley in downtown Athens is just right off the square. I've seen the before of that alley, and I was telling someone today, we were talking about it, and I said, you know, that alley looked like something that you would really want to avoid before yeah. it was turned into this. I mean, the whole alley is a piece of art. It's just amazing. So tell us then about the inspiration behind the mural that you did at Merchant's Alley.
Okay. So they've got a fiddler's convention in Athens every year. And they wanted something to celebrate the music of Athens. So I did my research and I landed on that. And I thought that was a really interesting piece of Athens that doesn't really happen anywhere else. People in my family played fiddle growing up. So it was something that I have a personal connection to in some way. And just music in general. Everybody on both sides of my family is a musician. They've all played in bands. They can play instruments and sing, and myself included. So I was really excited to even get a chance to make a proposal that's celebrating music. They wanted something. I gave them a few options. I gave them some options that are more harmonious with the surrounding environment, with the brown brick and some of the older concrete. So these like neutral tones. And then I gave them one that's just kind of crazy and loud and very vibrant, and they went for that one, which was kind of surprising to me. Yeah. But I was happy to paint it because that's the one I wanted to paint. It looked like the most fun. But there's also, have you ever seen the movie Soul? It's a Pixar movie.
I have not seen that yet. It's on my list to see, though.
Okay, well, there's a part of this movie where the guy's a musician and he's playing piano, and while he's playing piano, he kind of leaves his body and leaves this world and gets totally sucked into his art. And it's a connection to something higher and something bigger. And that's what I was trying to represent with this hand playing the fiddle, is that moment when the fiddle player just leaves his surroundings and becomes one with the music or one with the environment. I'm not really sure how to describe that state. It's a flow state, right?
Yeah, well, it is definitely, I mean, the first time I saw it, I just stood there. I'm sure my mouth came open, you know, and my eyes got very wide. I know what you mean when you see it. It's just amazing. It's so beautiful. It's so huge. And the colors that just pop, y'all have to go and look it up on our website to see that. But it's quite striking. So,
yeah. Thank you.
Okay, another mural that you kind of touched on about being in downtown Decatur is this beautiful girl, and it's the highlight of Second Avenue. What was your inspiration behind this mural?
Well, it's a kind of a layered story. So I've had this photo of my sister who passed away in 2006 that I've always held on to, and I wanted to make a special painting about it. And I kind of, most of my life, envisioned it as this tiny little portrait painting in a studio, but I made a post on Facebook just kind of randomly in the summer of 2019, because I was working on a huge mural with an artist named Yemi Cambron, and just kind of learning the process of doing something at scale like that. And I felt pretty confident about doing it. So I put a post on Facebook saying, does anybody know anybody who's working with beautification in downtown Decatur? I'd like to talk to them about making a piece of public art. And within a few days, somebody put me in touch with Philip Mann and Kim Vice Mitchell, who they're like the top dogs over there. And they were really excited to talk to me. And I was kind of blown away that it went so smoothly, just a shot in the dark, you know. And we talked about it. I kind of told them how it would play out on a technical level. And they gave me a chance. So the woman in the mural is my sister. And it's a memorial to her. I didn't want to call it a memorial. I didn't want people to maybe have a moment of sadness when they walk by it by seeing the dates and numbers. But for me, that's what it is. And for my family, that's what it is. You know, she's someone who passed much too young. And I just wanted to do something to honor her. And at the same time, make a real piece of art for Decatur, Alabama. I know when they first talked to me, they were kind of trying to get me to do something that's more Instagram-y and, in my opinion, a little gimmicky. But whatever. That's just my opinion. But I was like, no, I'm not that artist. You know, if I'm going to make something, it needs to be special. It needs to come from the heart. So that's what I did. And they were all for it. They sent it for approval, and everyone was really happy to let me get the opportunity, which was amazing to me. I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah. And I remember the first time that I saw that mural, I didn't see the dates on it and I hadn't heard the story behind it, but it gave this impression to me that it had this really deeper meaning. You know, I mean, one of my first thoughts was, is this in honor of someone, you know? And it just, every time I go down Second Avenue, I see it, and it's just, it's truly the highlight of Second Avenue. So it's also quite striking to see that. And I love that it's in honor of your sister. That's really cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's rare that people get the chance to do something like that for their family members at such a scale, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. So why did you choose Decatur for this mural?
It's because it's where I'm from. And when I was growing up in Decatur, just being an artist it didn't seem like a realistic avenue as a profession. And as an adult now, I've seen the art industry change, and I know that there's a lot of different paths to success. And there's a college there that's an art college now. So yeah. I just wanted to do my part, or what I could, for the community I grew up in, to maybe shift people's perspective on art and what can be done with it. Because not everyone gets to leave Decatur. Not everyone has the privilege to be able to travel around and go places. So they deserve good art too. And I wanted to do what I could for the city and that level.
Yeah. And it's very encouraging to, you know, kids like you who want to be aspiring artists to see that, hey, someone from Decatur actually created this beautiful art here in Athens and then all over the place. So that's encouraging and inspiring to them as well. So
yeah. And on another level, when I was in school, I had to cheat my way into get to art two. I forced a signature to get to the second level of art. I failed art my senior year.
Oh goodness.
So what I'm saying is, if you're a student and you're not doing good academically, but you still love art and you still have a passion for it, just keep going. You know, not always everyone around you understands your vision. It's up to you to make your vision better and more clear, and just keep pushing it. Believe in yourself. Keep going.
Yeah. See, there you go. There's your pep talk today for all you aspiring artists. There it is right there.
That's a pep talk for myself too. You know, I've always got to remember it.
Yeah. Note to you, note to self. I love it. You've also created some incredible chalk art at the River Clay Arts Festival in downtown Decatur. Tell us about that.
Okay. I also started doing that in 2015. I think in 2015, I just hit a point in my life where I was like, I've got to get back into art. I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't been making art for about 10 years. So, and some part of me was missing. So I just started to shift my life back in that direction. And my first festival was in Marietta, Georgia. It's Chalktoberfest. It's a huge festival. And I had no idea what I was doing. I'd never even used chalk before, but my boss sponsored a square for me. I was like, you're going. I don't care what you do. Get out there and make some art. I'm like, all right. Got out there. It went way smoother than I expected. I had a blast. Everyone I met was great. So it's something I wanted to pursue. And once again, Kim Vice Mitchell, she's the one that's organizing the Chalk Art Festival for River Clay. And she's like, if you can do this, come on, we need some more chalk artists. So that was my second piece, the one in 2019. I recently did another one in 2022? In 2021 in fall. And that went well. That was my fourth piece. So I'm headed to another festival in 2 weeks. I think I'll make the chalk festival circuit a part of my life. Maybe not every single one, but a few times a year. It's really enjoyable. They always come out well. It's not that stressful, whereas some of the murals, it's like very high pressure. Of course, you don't get paid as much, but most of these festivals pay you a little bit, make it worth your time, you know?
Yeah.
And I have a blast. It's another thing where you get to engage with the public. People are more engaging in that scenario because they know that you're there and accessible to them for that reason. Whereas when you're painting a mural, sometimes people want to leave you alone. They don't want to bother you while you're working.
Yeah.
But in the chalk festival, people are talking to you all day, which I love. I love talking while I'm making art. I think it's a blast.
Yeah. Looks a little less intense, I guess. So people feel more.
Yeah. It's a more relaxed atmosphere. Yeah. People walking around with beers in their hands, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've used chalk on sidewalks and it's kind of difficult to get something that looks decent. So how difficult is it to get a beautiful piece of art on a sidewalk?
I think if you just go chalk on sidewalk and don't try any other techniques, you're going to have bad luck. But we use grids and it makes it a little bit easier. You still draw it. You still have to match square by square under a little bit of pressure. Yeah. Some people use, they like make these big printouts and use powder and you can get an outline really quick. I haven't really learned how to do that yet, or at least not while I'm traveling around. It's a difficult thing to get all the materials, right? So that's a thing I need to learn. But a lot of it is blending and you're getting the right chalk. I've got some chalk that's made by Eternity Arts and it's a super high dense pigment. It's very vibrant. They've got a bunch of colors and the sticks are like huge so you don't run out of chalk. For me, that's been kind of my secret to getting the vibrant chalk pieces.
Okay, so it's not the little Crayola chalk pieces that we're going to get at Target, right?
Definitely not the Crayola ones, though you can still make some pretty decent stuff. You just got to learn how to blend the chalk around.
Yeah.
If you don't blend it, it's always going to look kind of like scratchy.
Yeah.
Which is a good texture to have for certain things.
Yeah.
But I like mine to be blended. You just take your fingers. I usually tape mine up. Otherwise, they get kind of raw for rubbing on the asphalt. Yeah. Just tape it up and go and have patience. And if you have enough patience and enough chalk, you can make something look pretty good.
Oh, that is fascinating. That is really fascinating. Well, tell us then about the process of creating, going back to the murals, of creating these beautiful pieces of art. Kind of walk us through like from start to finish on a mural.
Okay. Well, it's different for everybody. But for me personally, I like to do a digital mock-up and I use an iPad because you're drawing with a stylus. It feels very natural. And once I'm happy with either an outline or a color study, something kind of basic that I can go from, then I've done it two ways. And I think I'll go the second way. So the first way I've done it is by using a projector. So you set up a projector at night and you make sure it's lined up either using bricks and levels and things like that. It's kind of difficult to get it lined up correctly. And once you've traced it, then it's there and you're stuck with something that's a little out of proportion. So with the one in Decatur, we didn't realize until maybe halfway through production that I bumped the projector or it slipped or something.
Oh, no.
While we were tracing it. So we had to just kind of wing it on a few things. It came out fine, but it was very stressful at the time when we realized it, that all the lines I had drawn are incorrect.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but that's part of the process, right? So I use a new technique now, and I use it because I was in a festival in 2020, and I get there, and there's no power for the projector, so I'm like, what am I going to do? And I see all these, a lot of these people are graffiti writers that are kind of shifting over to muralism or do a little bit of both, and they're using this technique called a squiggle grid. It's very difficult for me to explain verbally, but I'll give it a shot. So you take your wall, your blank wall where your piece is going to be, and what I do is just draw different designs on it. Like I write letters, I write little images of record players and phones and just whatever, any kind of symbol that's not the same as something around it. So by the time I'm done, it looks like a wall of hieroglyphs or something like that, right? And what you do is you take the photo of the wall, you take your mock-up, a digital mock-up or a photo of a physical mock-up, and you impose the outline onto all of the hieroglyphs that you've drawn. And this way you can kind of follow lines. So for me, it's okay. This line goes through the bottom part of the A and the top part of the pizza. And you just follow the line. It's very difficult to imagine without seeing photos. But for me, it's more versatile. You can do it in the daytime. You don't have to worry about having electricity or a projector or someone bumping your projector or stealing your projector. So that's what I did in Athens because the alleyway was too small for us to use a projector. We tried and I just couldn't get, it would have taken forever and you're running too much of risk of getting something wrong because you kind of wanted to do it in one projection and trace it all in one projection, not in pieces.
Yeah.
So I did this squiggle grid across the wall in Athens. It took me all day to paint that giant wall with hieroglyphs. And of course, everyone's walking by like, what's going on here? which was a lot of fun. I wasn't sure how the public would take it there, but everyone seemed to enjoy it. And they were confused, but it brought interest into the piece more so than I think a bunch of pencil outlines that no one can see would.
Yeah.
So right away, people are like, what is going on here? This guy has just done graffiti all over this wall. But over time, you start to see the pieces come together. And As an artist, it just gives you more points of reference than a traditional grid. It's way easier to execute than a traditional grid. So that's what I'll be doing going forward. I don't think I'll be using projectors anymore.
Okay. That's really cool. Is there a special kind of paint that you have to use on your mural art?
No, I mostly use paint from Short & Williams. I think they're very consistent with their bucket paint, and they have a really good catalog of colors. I think they're more consistent than the box stores like Home Depot and Lowe's. I've just never had any problems with Short & Williams, and the customer service there is good. And I've got a business discount, which helps a lot. I use aerosol sometimes for certain effects. I'd like to get better at aerosol. I used to be pretty decent when I was younger. But there's people now that have techniques that are just like, they will blow your mind what people can do with a spray can. So I'm trying to keep getting those skills upgraded as I go along for more effects, faster production.
Yeah, that's really cool. So what kind of protective coating do you put on the murals to make them last?
Well, for the last ones, I've used a UV coating. It kind of helps block the UV light a little bit, but it also is just a basic clear coat that adds a layer of protection to where you can wash off graffiti, or it just holds the paint together more. Like, you won't see certain sections chipping before others, at least for probably 8 years, something like that. I don't have an 8-year-old mural, so I guess we'll see. but that's the idea. I'm not sure that I'll use that stuff anymore, though, because there's a risk you run using it. Sometimes the stuff yellows, or sometimes it doesn't dry translucent. And it's a little scary when you've spent 20 days on a mural and I'm like, okay, here goes. I'm just going to paint something all over the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it makes it more difficult to repair. So if something happens, like a tree falls on part of the mural, or like the storm comes through and like scratches a bunch of stuff up, you have to kind of buff the stuff off, reprime. So you have to start all over. Whereas if you don't protect it, you can just go and paint it. And it won't shift the varnish of the paint or the color of the paint at all. So
okay.
I think going forward, I'm going to advocate for not using a protective coat. This is what a lot of more experienced muralists have told me as well. So
okay.
It's not always up to me, though. Sometimes it's demanded by the city that there's a anti-graffiti protection on there. So.
Yeah. Okay. So it would make it easier then if someone came up and wanted to deface the mural, then you could clean it off easier.
Yeah, with the stuff that's on the Athens mural, if someone puts graffiti on there, you can just take some soap and some water and wash it right off.
Oh, wow.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
But if something else happens to the mural, I'm not certain at this point exactly how I'm going to fix it. I'm going to have to go through a whole research process to figure out how I'm going to fix it.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
I mean, just thinking about like all the different ways that you have to, you know, the things you have to use and the, you know, trying to preserve it. Cause like you said, you've spent what, 20 days on a project, you know, that's a long time to invest that you want
it
to
is.
Stay.
Yeah, it is.
Look nice.
And the further along you get, the more difficult it is to fix things, you know,
yeah.
Cause all the layers, you have to like redo the layers the right way.
Yeah. That's cool. So where are some other places that we can find your artwork?
I've currently got a mural in Chattanooga, and I've got a couple of commercial murals here in Atlanta, but nothing that I want to promote as art, but there's a piece in Chattanooga. I will have to send you the address later because it's kind of in a little neighborhood. It was just like a little neighborhood beautification program put on by a local guy up there. A lot of really good artists are involved in it, but I don't remember the address off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
Cool.
I think you can find it on my Instagram.
Okay.
You can definitely find the piece on my Instagram, and I'm pretty sure I've got it listed in the neighborhood there.
Okay. We'll have to check that out.
Yeah. But I'm still getting started as a muralist, and it's been kind of slow during the pandemic. So I've got a lot of applications out there. I'm trying to get more work. And if anybody knows anybody, I'd love to paint in Huntsville. So if anybody wants some mural work in Huntsville, I would be more than happy to work with you guys to get something up there.
Yeah, there's some amazing stuff in Huntsville too, and they keep adding more and more murals. So I bet we could, you know, put a bug in some people's ear and get a mural there.
I would love to paint in Huntsville. I love that city. I think it's great, and I like what it's turning into.
Yeah, it's really evolving into something amazing. So what is your favorite part about your job, about being a mural artist?
I like that my work feels meaningful. I was a designer for 12 years, and I don't think it was good for the first like 6 or 7, but eventually it just kind of felt meaningless. I felt like I was just selling products, which there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you're doing with your life. But for me, I just wanted to contribute more socially to the world than commercially. And I really like doing murals in places where there's not a lot of artwork, just because if I can be a part of a wave that brings artwork to a place that's kind of art starved or art deprived, then I know for sure that I'm making an impact on that community. Whereas maybe in a place like New York or Atlanta, it's like, it's good for me to make a mural there, but you know, the people will appreciate it, but it won't be as significant to them. So I'd like to keep painting in smaller towns or smaller cities and bringing art to just more regular people who don't get to experience it as much, or who don't have the time to go to places where there's a lot of art.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that. Thank you so much for being here today, Adam. It was so cool to learn all about your work and especially your passion behind it. That is really cool to hear that. Now, for all of our listeners, where can we find you on social media?
Instagram is the best place. That's where I'm most active. I go through waves of activity. But anyways, it's at Tilt and Fade. That's TiltAndFade. Tilt and Fade.
Okay. And how can someone get in touch with you if they want to do a mural with you?
You can DM me on Instagram. I get a lot of inquiries that way, and I get illustration commissions and things like that. I respond well. Or you can email me. I'm adamstevenson17@gmail.com. I'll respond to your email most likely that day or within a couple of days, depending on how crazy my life is at the time. Sometimes I'm working 14-hour days on someone else's artwork, you know?
Yeah. Well, I cannot wait to see more of your murals pop up all over the place. And for our listeners, we've got the North Alabama Mural Trail, and you can find that at northalabama.org. And if you check in to the murals, you can even earn prizes. So make sure that you go and you look up these murals and go see them, check in. Don't forget to visit North Alabama on all of our platforms. And thank you so much for joining us. And we'll be back next time with more about unexpected North Alabama adventures. This has been another episode of the Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Malia Hames and produced by Relic.